The focus of today's episode is differentiation, in which Jesse Robleski, a marketing expert with over 25 years of experience in the field, shares his unique perspectives. Jesse works tirelessly to help businesses stand out and not just blend in with the competition. His journey began when he realized his unique skills were being lost in a sea of sameness, and he decided to find a way to differentiate his services and help others do the same. In this episode, Jesse shares his insights on the fear of becoming a commodity and how businesses can reclaim their unique value. He introduces us to his concept of decommoditization and discusses the importance of differentiation. You learn about his process of identifying what makes a brand truly special and how to communicate that to the world. Jesse also talks about his book, Marketing for Supervillains, where he illustrates how to use creative strategies to outsmart competitors. He shares fascinating stories like how he almost built a website for the mafia and lived with the most hated band in the world, the Insane Clown Posse. Join us as Jesse explains how to uncover your brand's unique identity and connect with your audience in a way that sets you apart from the rest. This episode is packed with practical advice and inspiring stories you won't want to miss. And don't forget, it's better to be different than to be better. Welcome to the Ecom Pulse, your heartbeat to the world of e-commerce. I'm your host, Eitan Kotter. Join us as we meet with industry leaders, marketing experts, and the innovative minds behind the tech that is shaping the e-commerce future. So plug in, gear up, and get ready for a pulse-pounding journey into the heart of e-commerce. Hey, Jesse, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Love your background. Wow, it's really amazing. I hope the listeners on YouTube probably will be able to see that, but it's really amazing. Yeah, it's all real stuff there, right? Real gadget.
All real carnival used marketing paraphernalia.
great. So Jesse, plenty of things today. Probably the main theme is about fear of decommoditization, right? And villains and supervillains. So please explain, you know, those terms and what do you do actually and what's your expertise all about?
Sure. So when I started in the digital marketing realm about 25 years ago, I felt special, right? Because my clients would call me and I was the only one that could solve their problems, right? So my special skills were put to use. And then over the years, as more and more competition entered the field, I no longer felt as special. It was, you know, why are you charging this when this guy charges that? And I had to reduce my prices. And all that pride I felt started to dwindle away. So I realized that I had become, and my agency had become, commoditized, right? So when that special, unique feature that you have in the market isn't easily recognizable and people can't tell the difference between you and the other guy, you become a commodity. So I figured, you know, what better way to devote my talents than figuring out how to decommoditize myself, get that special differentiating factor back. And during the pandemic, I kind of took a step back and just figured out, you know, this is what I want to be best in the world at. And I just started reading and gobbling up all the information I could and kind of built a process on how any brand out there, doesn't matter what you do, if you consider yourself boring or not special in your industry, I guarantee you can differentiate yourself and decommoditize yourself in your industry.
Yes. And you are a marketing expert. And these days, I mean, differentiation is more important than being better, probably.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, tell us a little bit from the shopper's perspective, from consumer perspective, when they see brands, when they evaluate options, what are their thought process? Why differentiation is so important and what's really brands need to pay attention to?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of us, you know, you take any industry that you're in a lot of us differentiate ourselves because we take that pride and we're so good and we're, you know, we really able to provide better products or services. But when it comes to the client or the prospect, they're really not as educated as we are. So we might see like this really finely crafted product or service versus everything else in the market. The prospect just sees a little price for product A, price for product B, you know, they might flip a coin to decide who is best.
Yeah, they really don't care too much, right?
Yeah. So we all think that these highly educated, highly educated prospects are out there that are going to appreciate our refined skills. But in reality, we can't keep searching for them. We have to fill that pipeline. And in order to do that, you have to differentiate yourself substantially with something other than price.
Exactly. And probably it can't be a battle of features, right? I mean, differentiation is probably some different layer that probably you're referring to, right? Absolutely. What is this all about?
So in the book, give a little plug here, Marketing for Supervillains, I illustrated the process that I use with my clients and how we uncover their differentiators. So a lot of people feel like, oh, I have to wear crazy clothes. I have to be the funny guy in order to be truly differentiated. And that's not the case. We have something called the universe of differentiation. And it's basically 12 different planets. And it lists how all brands throughout history, large brands, small brands, have successfully differentiated themselves. And it includes brands like Rolex, like Tiffany's, like Sotheby's. So when you think of those brands, you don't think of like, oh, they're so different. You know, they're differentiated. You know, they have that higher level of elevated brand positioning. But they truly are differentiated. And we show from, you know, the crazy, wacky campaigns all the way down to the more affluent, elevated campaigns. There's something in that spectrum that can help you truly differentiate your brand.
Yes. And what will those differentiating, let's say, topics might be that probably you can share with us?
Absolutely. So there's a couple, there's 12, like I mentioned. Just off the top of my head, you can differentiate yourself through your process, how you do what you do, how you make the things you make. You can differentiate yourself through something called definitives, right? So McDonald's, most hamburgers sold in the world, you know, the most expensive, the cheapest, the hardest. They have a Tough Mudder obstacle course where the hardest, most difficult obstacles in the world. Identity. There's something called repositioning the category. Great example. I'm a, you can tell I collect action figures, right? But that word wasn't always in existence. So when G.I. Joe came out, people were still calling them dolls. And parents at that time didn't want their boy playing with dolls. So the toy company came up with the term action figure, and thus the whole industry exploded. So if you have something that's kind of fits in your vertical, but is something that stands completely on its own, you can reposition the category and actually make a new generic term, and you'd be the originator.
Yes.
I can go on and on. Timing.
Please go. It's very interesting. Please share a few more.
Another planet is timing. So if you are the original, if you're the latest, if you are the future, right? If you think of Tesla, they differentiate themselves on timing, that they're the latest. Anything that they put out, you can rest assured that they're pushing the boundaries of technology. Then you go all the way the other end, you have the original, Harvard, the first college in the United States. Philly cream cheese, the originators of cream cheese. So you can use all these things to essentially differentiate yourself in the eyes of that not so highly educated prospect out there.
Yes. So you found a way to differentiate yourself. That's a very strong hook, right? To capture probably attention, right? Just in the mindset of consumers and shoppers to position yourself something in this area of the brain where you are unique, you're special. It doesn't have to be better. Right. But it has to be different.
Absolutely. You know, we say, you know, everyone, when you bring up brand, everyone has a different definition. Like everyone's talking about branding and I have a personal brand and this and that. But the definition I like to use for a brand is simply a memory someone has of your business. Right. Mm-hmm. So that could be a logo. It could be an annoying jingle that gets stuck in your head. It could be a smell, like the smell of Starbucks. Like that's part of their brand. Right. So In a sense, when you're creating your brand, you want to create a memory. However that is, you want to carve out a piece of real estate in anyone that sees your business. right? So the most powerful memories are feelings. And the most powerful feelings are the ones that can be understood by a caveman. So wow. It's kind of a sequential process of, you could say, you know, yeah, we're the first, we're the originators, but you have to tie that in with that feeling that anyone could understand. And that'll help you in creating that real estate, sticking a post in that real estate in the customer's mind, and always being there as a memory they have of your business or your brand.
Amazing. It's really fascinating and interesting. You know, you talk and I think about my company, Vimy, right? I mean, how can I implement it? And there are so many ways we can implement it. So today, marketeers and brands, I think they're well educated, right? So they know that they need to speak about values and emotion, creating this loyalty with shoppers, emotional connection. So they go like higher in the hierarchy in terms of messaging, right? So values and all. But shoppers, they care about the products, right? When you buy a shirt, you need to understand the size, the color, the fabric, right? It's all in the features. And brands don't want to, they know they can't talk about features, you know, spray and pray features or just feature dumping type of things, right? They don't do that. So how differentiation fits? I mean, it's like, it's something that runs in parallel. It's something that is part of the whole overall marketing strategy.
Yeah. So again, I can pick any one of those planets. So kind of an easy one that shouldn't be easy anymore to way to differentiate yourself is cause alignment, right? So every brand is like, oh, we support this cause, we support that cause. And now it's backfiring on people because, you know, they're not truly authentically supporting that cause. But if you take that and make that part of your brand, Tom's sneakers, right? Every pair you buy, they buy a pair and donate it to someone who can't afford sneakers. So that's like the DNA of their brand, right? So if you're thinking about clothes and you're thinking about sneakers, Tom's is pretty damn well differentiated as far as other sneakers go, right? So you can take any one of these planets, and if you really lean into it and make it your differentiator, there's shirts or yoga pants, and then there's Lululemon pants. And Lululemon doesn't really have to talk about how, you know, fine the fabric is and their, you know, customer service and all that, because they've established that brand, that lifestyle brand. I mean, a lot of us kind of look at it one way. I sell milk, Walmart sells milk. Walmart sells milk cheaper, I'm out of business. But that's really not the case at all.
Yeah. I mean, we are currently in an era where acquisition is so difficult. CPCs are increasing. I mean, you run an agency for 25 years with Generations Beyond, right? You know the current status of the market. And it's SEO is a long term, and it's a playground for the big guys, right? And smaller players, right? And it's kind of their way, differentiation and is their way to stand out in a certain way, right? So, And tell us about the villains concept, why it's so important for you. And maybe next I will ask you about the process. How do you work with brands and what is the way you work with them to achieve those type of differentiation statements?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you set it up perfectly, right? So if you're a smaller brand entering a market, typically there's always a super brand in the market, right? There's a name brand. And much like superheroes, that name brand has public favor. Everybody knows them. They like them. They usually have big muscles, which in marketing equates to big budgets, right? So to go head-to-head with a big brand and try to outspend them or try to do more social media or do more SEO, just like a supervillain and a superhero going head-to-head, it's usually a recipe for failure. So a lot of, you know, my personal, you know, whatever you want to call it, DNA, a lot of my clients, we come at it from a challenger perspective, right? No one ever comes to me and says, hey, you know, we're Budweiser. Here's $50 million, you know, just go and keep us at the top of the market. It's always a challenger, you know, trying to take out the big guy. So that's where the supervillain concept kind of came from. Supervillains most of the time are not, you know, big muscle bound guys that can go head to head. They usually have to use their brain and their resources to outsmart or outplay their superhero or their super brand in their field. So a lot of this comes from an underdog challenger perspective and things that you can do to kind of topple people with bigger budgets and bigger social media teams and bigger SEO teams, not going head to head, but playing the game a little bit differently in order to achieve victory.
Yeah. So the villains are like, they are the underdogs, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And then they use their mind, use their brain, and they are becoming the super villains, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so makes a lot of sense the way you describe it in that way, but why no one is doing that? I mean, the obvious ways of doing things, right, is, hey, let's look at the big guys, why they're successful. I mean, there's no way you can be different history, different DNA. Why people are not naturally inclined to find their differentiation? Is it because it's too difficult? Maybe it's not right in the syllabuses of the biggest universities out there. It makes it so much sense, but why it's not common practice?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say 99% of the clients that walk through my door, they say, you know, we're a law firm. We're small, but we want to look like them.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're not them. You're never going to look like them. I mean, I can make you look like them, but why would you want to play second base? Like you could topple them done correctly. So yeah, I mean, it's, I think a lot of business owners aren't in the trenches like you and I, obviously. And they think just writing a check and saying, hey, we'll do social media. Here's another check for SEO. Mm-hmm. You know, they sit mm-hmm. back, wait for the dividend. Yeah. That's not how it happens. Not anymore. Yeah. It's just too competitive.
I mean, companies are growing substantially because they're creating something unique, something different, and they're creating like a community or like a, as you said, like a planet of their own, right? And so probably it's very difficult for new companies, maybe small size or even mid-size, to envision and to dream about this type of new planet that they try to create, right? And probably with your help, you make it more realistic for them and more tangible for them to understand how it looks, right? So let's go into the process. How you usually implement those processes, how you are able to squeeze the information, the real information, in order to come up, you know, with the right methodologies and processes to help, you know, those brands differentiate themselves.
Sure. So we have a 4-week program to find a company's true, meaningful differentiator. And mm-hmm. my favorite exercise comes at the beginning. So I give all my clients homework and I give them the task of, if they could pick a fantasy spokesperson, right? Living, dead, real, fake, a character from a book that authentically, like, just lives, eats, sleeps, and breathes their brand. Like, who do you want to be? Who do you want, you know, if you could just write a check and have that person be your spokesperson and they speak how you speak and they talk to the people that you want to talk to. Mm-hmm. We figure that out. And I tell them, you know, don't just go bang for your buck. Everyone says like, oh, I want The Rock, right? Because he has such, no. We want to find the person or the fictional character that truly embodies your brand and what you want it to be. And then from there, everything we write, everything we create should sound absolutely normal coming out of that person's mouth, right? So if you have like a Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, and you want to be, you know, green and sustainable, that doesn't sound natural coming out of Kevin O'Leary's mouth. He's all about process and money. So that's kind of the first step. We identify kind of the persona and the personality. Yeah. And that kind of brings everybody on board, right? So I could write up a customer journey and a persona and an avatar, but people don't get it. But if they go, you know, hey, you know what? My guy is, John Hamm in Mad Men. Okay, I got it. Everything that comes out of his mouth should sound like my brand. So that's a great first step.
Sorry to interrupt you. So that person should be a known person that everyone knows, right? That can relate to.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, it's mainly for the stakeholders. So if it's like an offbeat character from a book that only they like truly resonate with, mm-hmm. you know, they have to explain it to me. It doesn't have to be, you know, part of the pop culture.
Yes, you need to understand the characteristic of this person. And this person has a certain way that he speaks, that he thinks, that he behaves, his character. You're trying to dissect, you know, a variety of characteristics of that person. And from that, you know, trying to come up with the right process for differentiation. Okay, so interesting. So what is the next step?
So the next step is we go into the universe of differentiation. Mm-hmm. And that we basically lay out the solar system. and we play a little game, right? So just looking at the 12 planets, we say pick three that you feel in your gut. I'll never differentiate myself that way. So they pick three, I pick three.
Okay.
And I tell them to pick three that you feel like that might be a good, you know, a starting point. So they pick their three, I pick their three. And then from there, we kind of dissect. All right, we agree on these, you know, two that are definitely not you. Why'd you pick this one? Why'd I pick that one? And kind of go deeper. And then from there, it's really a process of, okay, we land on two or three planets that could potentially be a differentiator. Then we figure out who lives on those planets, right? So who, if you are going to use this as your differentiator, who on that planet or who do we want on that planet to, you know, take advantage of your products or services?
Is you mean ICPs or personas, like the customers?
Right. So yeah. If you're going after, you know, hey, we want to be, you know, the finest wristwatches next to Rolex. Mm-hmm. We want to choose a planet that has affluent people on it that appreciate craftsmanship. But if we want to say, hey, you know, we want to be approachable. We don't want people to walk in and feel funny about asking how much a watch is because it's so expensive. We want everybody to be able to afford our watch. That's mm-hmm. obviously going to be a different differentiator on a different planet. So it's kind of an alignment of what authentically differentiates you and then the people that will resonate most. So it's kind of a marriage of those two.
So those audiences, I mean, the shoppers or the personas or ideal customer profile, this is a known fact, right? Proper companies are already active with these customers. And let's assume they're already selling and they're find their personas, right? So this is a known fact. They know how to define their shoppers. And now in parallel, you work with them on those planets and try to connect the shopper definition to the planet and the differentiation items and try to combine these two together into some kind of a messaging statements or methodologies, right? So right, some of the brands or some of the customers that you work with also are working on identifying their ICPs, or it's usually they know which one they want to, whom they want to target.
So, like I mentioned in the very beginning, a lot of the clients I work with they feel like they've become commoditized, right? So, in a sense, they are willing to like start blank canvas, right? Mm-hmm. So, give you an example. We had a distillery here in New York. Mm-hmm. They're very, you know, like we really care about the process and the ingredients and, you know, the fine nature of our product. So that led us to, well, we can go after a planet that really appreciates elevated spirits and the best of the best. Or we can go through a planet like the college kids that just say, hey, you know, this is cool. I want to wear your logo on my shirt, you know, make it more approachable, right? So it's a question of, number one, you know, we can make that product look and sound like anything. Question is, do we have a lot of access to those affluent people, or do we have more access to, you know, the college kids? And if so, maybe we don't make it look so expensive. Maybe we go with more of a comedic approach, make it more approachable for people that, you know, might be intimidated by the top mm-hmm. shelf players. So it almost completely trickles down into everything, almost rebirthing the product or service from scratch.
So in the process that you are leading, you're not only finding differentiation and probably the strength, but you're also helping them define the markets, their target customers. Like this is the fundamentals of any business, right?
Yep.
So the product is there. You are not touching the product. This is the product. This is how it looks, right? Maybe it needs some fine tuning after you define customers or differentiation. Obviously, it probably requires, but the product is there. Here are the potential customer types or customer definition. Let's work around that and try to develop also the differentiating statements for us. Okay, what else? What's happened next in the process?
So the final week of the process is once we have the strategy, right? The product, the differentiator, the audience. Now comes marketing, which is how you tell the world about how you're different. Right. So, and that could absolutely be anything dependent on those three factors. Right. So if you're going after college kids, probably heavy on social media, the reading the room of social media, it's probably something a little more outlandish and a little bit more left of center than your average ad, which is what I love to do. And it's really something that builds on top of every week. So every week we kind of get a building block, and then at the end we have our messaging. That's the fun part.
Got it. So this is where you bring your 25 years of agency experience, also trying to implement the right outbound, let's say, or earned or owned media strategies evolving around that. Well, it's really, really, I mean, fascinating. And I mean, differentiating is probably saying to a lot of things, no, I'm not that, I'm not that. I'm like saying no, 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 no. It requires a lot of courage, right? I mean, it's not easy process.
Yeah, man, you're hitting all my talking points, right? So
yeah,
differentiating is not an additive process, it's reductive, right? So it's not, you have to kind of break your mind of saying,
yeah,
I want to appeal to more people, I want a bigger audience. It's actually a process of reducing your audience to really only the highly qualified individuals.
And it seems that you have a difficult or challenging work because it's a lot of ego involves. It's a process of letting go, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, that's why.
How do you do that? How do you convincing them?
Absolutely, yeah. So that's part of the process with the solar system, right? So we take out three, and I take out three.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever says like, "Hey, I want to get in shape." Okay, were you willing to do anything for it? Yeah, I'll get up at 5 a.m. I'll run. I'll do it. It's the same thing with branding, right? So everyone says like, "I'll do anything. I'm open to anything. I want to stand out," right? But by removing those pieces from the board, if you're not comfortable being funny or being approachable or being on camera, it's great to identify that up front.
Mm-hmm.
That way, when I get to the end, you don't go, I never really told you that I'm afraid of that, right? So I tell everyone I'm great at branding. I'm great at differentiating. I suck at reading minds. So let's be vulnerable during this process. Let's be honest. If you don't like something or it feels like it's rubbing you the wrong way, let's get it just off the board. Let's remove the piece, and we got 12 more. We got 11 more planets to play with. Mm-hmm. No harm, no foul.
Yes, yes. It seems that there's a lot of work in the industry about branding, right? And we talk a lot about differentiating and try to clarify it. What is the difference and what's the connection maybe between those two processes?
Yeah, great, great question. So there's a lot of people use USP, right? Unique selling proposition. Mm-hmm. And then they have differentiator. So I'll illustrate it with an example. So have you ever heard of Liquid Death?
Yes.
Hand water, right?
Yeah.
So Liquid Death basically differentiated themselves by creating a lifestyle brand, right? They mm-hmm. they carved out a little audience that really resonates with them, and they cater to that audience like crazy. They don't have a USP. They don't say our cans make it taste better. It's from a nicer spring, whatever. So their USP is out the window, and they've differentiated themselves, right? So a USP can be a differentiator, but a differentiator will blow away a USP.
It's right? Much more powerful, right?
So Liquid Death does about $50 million in sales a year, but their brand, mm-hmm. because they're differentiated, is worth $500 million. So, you can have your USP, but your differentiator is a game changer.
Yeah. So if you take the differentiation route or the process that you've identified and create a branding around that initial foundational statements versus having USP and build a brand around that, it's like two processes that can't even compete.
Absolutely. Yep.
Wow. Great. So let's talk about the book. What inspired you to write the book?
So I've always been a bit of a weirdo. I don't know if you could tell from my background.
And
I have a business coach, and he, to his credit, always asks why are you like this? Why do you like that? Why? So during COVID, when everyone's kind of taking a step back, I kind of like did a little soul searching, like why? And I went back to like when I was eight years old, and I discovered Weird Al Yankovic, and I had a little encounter with him, and kind of all the building blocks that made me mm-hmm. into someone that appreciates the more offbeat things in life. And during that, in the 25 years of my agency experience being commoditized, I said, all right, I'm going to specialize. In the past 25 years, what are the projects where not only did I enjoy them the most, did I make my client the most money, or did I make them the most impact?
Impact.
Right? So figuring out that, hey, I like taking almost boring, mundane stuff and just injecting life into them and making mm-hmm. them stand head and shoulders above the competition. And I've always been, you know, I've always heralded an anti-hero, and I'm a bit of a comic book nerd. So I found a lot of parallels in the supervillain thinking as opposed to the superhero thinking, right? So
yeah,
you mentioned it perfectly. A client comes to me and, you know, without even hearing what they do, yeah, social media, SEO, new website, new logo. But 25 years later, a lot of the times it doesn't work. So forcing them to think differently on how I started to think kind of birthed my supervillain.
Yes. And for the listeners, if you want to understand differentiation, right, you can go to Jesse's website, decommoditize.com, and you'll see what we mean by differentiation. Jesse, I mean, like, the whole vibe here is like big drama, right? There is what was the thought process when you created a website and the videos, what you tried to achieve? Because it's really amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I tried to achieve, you know, I brought up Kevin O'Leary before. I wanted to appeal to the business owners that are all about business, right? So nowadays you go on social media and everyone's posting positive quotes, and if you believe it, you can achieve
motivational
it.
Quotes, yeah.
Right. And that's just not me. And I don't want to work with those people. I want to work with people that like want to dominate. So that video script in the beginning, it's super self-reflective, where I feel like I travel the world, I refine my skills, I'm constantly educating myself. And my closest competitor, who doesn't do anything, is neck and neck with me. Like, that mm-hmm. doesn't make sense, right? So something drastic, and to use your word, dramatic, had to be done, had to make a change. And I'm hoping to attract the same people that feel like, you know what, I am the king of my industry, but it doesn't, my bank account doesn't reflect that. So I need to make a change.
And it shows exactly what we've been discussing. Some will go to the website and say, hey, I don't want to work with this guy. And some will say, hey, I must work with this guy. And this is what you exactly are here to achieve, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I want to reduce, saying I'm doing this for 25 years. I'm ready to reduce and find the gold, find the diamond in the rough.
Wow. Amazing. Great. Jesse, this is the fun fact part of the episode. So we'd love to hear something more personal about you.
Okay. So I'll do two fun facts that you can mm-hmm. find in the book. Number one is I almost built a website for the mafia. Came very close.
Okay.
And number two is, I don't know if you ever heard of the Insane Clown Posse.
No, sorry.
So they're like a totally outrageous band. They're like the punching bag in pop culture. They were made fun of.
Yeah.
No, they call themselves the world's most hated band, and they're guys that dress up as clowns and they throw soda around. It's right up my alley. So they had a website design contest, and I won it, and they flew me out to live with them for a week. So. Wow. I lived with the most hated band in the world, which most people find interesting.
How was it?
It was great. You know, it wasn't as insane as you think it would be. It was
okay. We're all social creatures at the end of the day, right?
Yeah. But there's
wondering
that are fully illustrated in the book. Yeah.
I'm wondering why you didn't build eventually that mafia website, that almost.
Yes.
Okay. Lucky for you. Great, Jesse. So it was really inspiring and interesting. How people can reach out to you, where people can find you.
Yeah, it's a little difficult to spell, decommoditize.com. But if you're looking for something easier, you can go to the book website, which is marketingforsupervillains.com. And my social is Marketing Supervillain. So on Instagram, TikTok, all that stuff, just look for the Marketing Supervillain.
Great, Jesse. Appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a great time.
Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on this episode. Your support means the world to us. If today's episode has been insightful for you, consider sharing it with someone who would also benefit. Even one share can make a big difference. Looking to elevate your e-commerce game? Discover Vimi, a multi-channel e-commerce platform that will transform your business with the power of shoppable video. Visit us at vimi.net to learn more. It's Vimi, V-I-M-M-I.net. Thank you for being part of our journey. Stay tuned for more invaluable insights in our next episode.